I was done playing fast and loose with our wedding vows, with the policeman's oath of honor, with every promise I'd ever made. Whether we stayed together or split, I'd love and cherish her. Richer or poorer, in sickness or in health, until the end of my days. But it wasn't Sarah I found waiting for me. It was Defoe, Vincent's right-hand goon. One look at him and I forgot all about my little mea culpa. I was spitting mad again, angrier at Sarah than I'd ever been before. Like we'd set up this rendezvous and she'd sent Defoe in her place. Defoe, the ugliest man on 2 feet, all pockmarks and scars, oil and dandruff. I've seen bodies in every state of decomp, but I always had a hard time looking Defoe in the face. He gave me a little nod as I took my seat. I nodded back. The thick prison glass between us seemed to magnify his deformities. We reached for our handsets at the same time. Defoe got right down to business.
Our mutual friend is very displeased with your current situation, he said.
He had an unnerving way of talking through his thin smile, almost without moving his lips. He couldn't come here and tell me himself, I said.
I assume you're joking. It's good to see you still have your sense of humor. You'll need it in the days ahead. Of course, how many days you have left depends to a large extent on what you say now.
How many days I have left?
I mean behind bars.
Defoe wasn't the brightest, but he had too many years' experience to threaten me outright in a state-run facility where any and all conversations might be recorded. You're a lawyer now? I asked.
A liaison.
The way I felt just then, I could have plowed my fist through the glass and squeezed his neck until his nasty head popped.